course this year is Impact 2022. And we're talking about making an impact in our own lives first, look in, impact in the lives of others, looking out, and then looking up, making an impact for God. So we're talking about looking in, looking out, and looking up. Now, we're going to be in Isaiah, the sixth chapter, and Isaiah does it a little bit different, but he talks about those same three things. But he does it in the order of looking up, looking in, and looking out. And so we're going to think about that this morning. The last several lessons, we've been really taking time and looking within. And it's been difficult, right? When we get our toes stomped on, when we stomp on our own toes, I hope we do that. I hope it's not just the preacher stomping on your toes. I hope you stomp on your own toes, right? And so we've spent some time doing that. And I want us to see something very important here in the book of Isaiah in chapter 6. Now, you know, maybe you're old enough to remember in your life certain moments that just, these events, they just mark your mind forever. You know, if you're old and old enough, you might remember Pearl Harbor, right? Or maybe the day that JFK was assassinated. Or even more recently, September 11th, 2001, the attacks. You know, and it impacts you so much. Many times people say, I remember where I was. I remember what I was doing. I remember everything very specifically about that moment when I heard about it. Right? There are certain things that we encounter in life. It just makes a stamp in our minds. And we just remember. We have these encounters with events in life or even maybe something more focused on your individual life, an event that happened in your life, an encounter that changed you. It was such a powerful encounter that you couldn't help but be changed. Right? Maybe if it was what happened to the nation on September 11th, right? You knew that nothing was ever going to be the same again, right? Or maybe in your life, someone very close to you died, something happened, or you witnessed something. You knew that encounter with that event, it was absolutely going to change you. Now, here's one of my encounters. 2004, in Iraq, there's our tent. We called him a hooch. There's my hooch. And we're just out on patrol all night, came back in, and did a few things, and went into my little area there. So maybe 8 or 9 in the morning, I don't remember exactly. And I just laid down, had a little cot, so we all had about a 6x4 area that was ours. And so I laid on the cot, and you know, I don't know if you've ever been so tired you can't sleep. You know, just you're just so tired you can't sleep. It was kind of one of those. So I'm kind of laying back in my cot. I got my day pack, and I'm kind of leaning up, and there's a 2x4. Right here, I'd like to lean my head on and just wishing I could go to sleep. And for some reason, and I remember very specifically, I wasn't really comfortable in that spot I normally was in, always in. So I kind of scooted down just a little bit, maybe 3-4 inches. Right after I did that, boom, 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 all around us, mortars. And right where my head was, this little piece of shrapnel from a probably 100-millimeter Chinese mortar, one went off right in front of the hooch there. My cot was on the right, maybe back about, I don't know, maybe 6-7 meters that way. Another one went off there, and the sandbags kind of stopped all of it. But this just stuck in that wood, and then, you know, after everything settled down, and a little bit later, I went in there, and I got my pocket knife, and I dug that out. Right there. That right there If I wouldn't have scooted down just a couple moments before, that would have absolutely killed me. That would have absolutely killed me. And I remember thinking just how close that was. You know, I had many close calls before that and after that, but for some reason, that encounter with that event right there, it shook me. And I remember after that, I prayed the prayer. You know, Lord, get me home and I'll change what needs to be changed. I'll fix what needs to be fixed. You know, get me back to my family and I'll do what I need to do to be more faithful. You see, before that, I'd never really thought about being a preacher. Now, throughout the years, Christy would say, you ought to be a preacher. I'm like, oh, I can't do that. No, I think you can't. No, there's no way I could do that. When I got home and she continued with that encouragement, I thought, well, you know, maybe that's what I need to do. Maybe that's the direction I need to go. And so not long after that, when I did get home and got out of the Army at that time, sold everything we had, 3 kids, a pregnant wife, moved across the country, went to preacher school. If you've ever lived through certain moments in your life, those moments will change you. Now, we can be changed by an encounter, but we'll still have a choice to make. What am I going to do with that encounter that I went through? Is it going to encourage me to go this way or that way? You know, there's still choices there. But regardless, you're going to be changed. So I want you to think about this encounter that Isaiah had, Isaiah the 6th chapter. In verse 1, your Bible reads there as he begins, in the year that King Uzziah died. Now, if you don't know who King Uzziah is, if you went back to 2 Chronicles, the 26th chapter, he had a 52-year reign. He was a good king for Judah for quite a while. And as a matter of fact, we read that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. But then throughout time, maybe he got in a spiritual rut, who knows, he forgot to humble himself. He forgot his purpose. Got a little mighty on himself. And you read in there, I believe it's verse 16, 17, 18, right in there, that he decides to go into the temple and offer unauthorized worship, unacceptable worship. We even read of the word trespass. The priests are saying, you can't be in here. You need to get out. He went to that point where he thought so much about himself that he could do what he wanted. God strikes him with leprosy. He went and had to live in a separate house until his death. So that's the year that Isaiah's talking about in Isaiah 6. Right here, that year that King Uzziah died, it was a time when the outlook of things was questionable. That was a time which Isaiah looked up and he had this encounter with God. And Isaiah goes on to compare a dead human king, Uzziah, with the living God, the one who's high and lifted up on his throne. So in Isaiah 6 here, when we read in the year that King Uzziah died, that's what it was all about. So we're going to look at this chapter here. 3 parts. We're going to look up like Isaiah did, then look in, and then we're going to see that outward look that he had because of the upward and inward look. We're going to make some application. Every one of us, we're going to make some application in our own spiritual lives in what we can learn here. We're going to have that look up and see the throne of God and encounter him. And as we do that next, we're going to look in. We're going to see ourselves for who we really are. And that third, at that moment, then we can look out and see the ministry to which God has called us. So let's look at this first one. Read it with me. Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 4, the upward look. Isaiah saw the Lord. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Now, let's stop right there. I'm sure you've had weddings in the auditorium here. I'm sure most church buildings have weddings, or you've been to a wedding, right? And I want you to think about the wedding, and you know, everyone's in the room, and you know, even the groom's up here, and the bridesmaids, and you're waiting for the bride to come in, right? And when the bride enters the room, many times with a long train on the dress, you know, there's no mistake who the bride is, right? Now, sometimes the groom and the groomsmen, they kind of look dressed the same, and you know, maybe you could mistake the groom for a groomsman, but you'll never mistake the bride for anybody else, right? And the audience, part of the wedding, you will never mistake who the bride is because what the bride is wearing. And so I believe here, this is what Isaiah is saying. You know, the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. There is no mistake who he's looking at. There's no mistake. Above it, verse 2, stood seraphim. Each had six wings. One, with two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. With two, he flew. One cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." So Isaiah here has this vision, and it's shared to him in a way that he would understand. Right? Again, the train of his robe, the Lord's robe, filled the temple. No mistake who we're looking at. And could you imagine here, standing in the temple, looking toward God, the most holy place, and not seeing that curtain? He would have been in the temple, not seeing that veil of the temple, the curtain, but seeing what he sees right here. Looking into the holiest of holies, the most holy place. Isaiah sees inside where God dwells. He sees the Lord on his throne, and around him are seraphim, these mighty, fiery creatures crying out. And the very sound of their voices, the doorpost and the threshold shook. And the temple was filled with smoke. Imagine that scenery here. Imagine what it would be like if you saw God's glory. You know, if we saw God's glory descending in some physical manifestation. You know, inside of the building this morning. You know, for you to look up, you know, maybe even up here, not see me, but see such a scene. You imagine how that would change you? You encounter the Lord. You know, many times we read in the Bible that encounters with the Lord are very traumatic and or dramatic. It absolutely changes people. And you see in a sense here, our corporate worship time, in a very real sense, is a glimpse into heaven, this time that we have together. Right? As Isaiah here saw the worship of the temple, you know, we see the worship of the church. This is a time when we encounter God together, whether it's in prayer or singing, and I love those songs, by the way, Brother Matt led. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, right? All of that. When you give of your means, that's part of your worship. All of that we see here, that's encountering God. And we have the opportunity together on the first day of the week to come together before the one who's high and lifted up on his throne. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, if you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to go over there real quick, part of our scripture reading. Now, there's two main words that we translate into the English word worship. Two main words in the Greek, the language of the New Testament. One is proskuneo, which basically means to kiss toward or to prostrate oneself before, and it speaks of an attitude. Matter of fact, if you went to John chapter 4, I think about verses 20 through 24, that's that word there used 10 times of that discussion with the Samaritan woman. Proskuneo is talking about an attitude. And then the other word is latreo. And many times that word is translated as service or worship. So let's talk about an action. So we have these two main words. One is an attitude. One is an action. Hebrews 10 here, beginning in verse 18. Now, where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sins. He had a discussion of sin and the atonement for sin through the blood of Jesus. Then he says in verse 19, therefore, because of the forgiveness of sins that we have, therefore, because of who God is, high and lifted up, mighty on his throne, and how small and weak and sinful and broken we are, but yet we have forgiveness. Therefore, brethren, because of that, in verse 19, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That veil of the temple when Jesus died on the cross was rent or torn in two. Now giving us access by the blood of Jesus into the very presence of God. He says in verse 20, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. He's talking about the day you obeyed the gospel. When you're washed in the water, when you reenacted the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in baptism, your hearts are sprinkled clean by the blood of Christ. Old Testament terminology here. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Now, when you can gather this concept of who God is, who you are, what you're allowed to be a part of. When a Christian can gather that concept, preachers and elders no longer would have to stand up in front of a congregation and say, please be a part of the congregation. Please assemble when the saints assemble. When you gather that concept of who God is and who you are and what you have access to, no one will ever have to plead and beg with you again to be part of the church. You'll say, you can't stop me from being a part of the church. And the activities and the worship and the study of the church. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's an upward look. That's what it's going to do for you. You know, so let us look up and encounter our God in worship and allow it to change us. Next here in Isaiah, the 6th chapter, you're going to see we have the inward look. Go back to Isaiah 6, if you would. You see, you can't be in the presence of God and nothing happen to you. Right? You just can't. You know, Peter, remember when he met Jesus on the fishing boat? He told Jesus to go away, for I'm a sinner. He encountered God and he recognized who Jesus was and who he was. He says, I'm a sinner. Go away from me. I'm not worthy to be in your presence. Job here, as you come to the end of the story of Job, we read Job's reaction to being in the presence of God. Job 42, beginning in verse 2, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes seize you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Philippians, the 3rd chapter. Let me read this to you real quick, and then we'll read what we need to there in Isaiah 6. Saul of Tarsus. Now, you remember on the road to Damascus, he encountered Jesus. You want to talk about a change from Saul of Tarsus persecuting the church to the Apostle Paul, who said these words in Philippians 3, beginning in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these things I have counted for loss. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for with whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. That was an encounter. Going from, I'm going to kill every Christian out there, to, I'll give it all up to be a Christian. That's an encounter with God, causing him to look in and change some things that need to change. Right here it is, Isaiah chapter 6. Read with me verses 5 through 7. Now, he had that look word, that look upward. Now he's going to look in. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone. He just saw the glory of God, right? Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King. My eyes have seen the King, right? The Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sins purged. You know, Isaiah became a living sacrifice and his sin was atoned for. It's the same calling for us today. Romans, the 12th chapter and verse 1, same calling. Different covenant, of course. Maybe this will make a little more sense now. If you read the end of chapter 11 there in Romans, it's really all about the glory of God. It's really about encountering God. And then you get to chapter 12 and verse 1 of the book of Romans. I beseech you therefore, brethren, because of the glory of God and who he is, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now there's that word for worship, latreo. New American Standard renders that word worship, reasonable worship. You can translate it either one, service or worship. It's a good translation either way. As a matter of fact, when you understand who God is and the mercies of God, whatever service, whatever worship action you take for the glory of God, that's reasonable, right? Nothing unreasonable about what you're being called to do when you put everything and you weigh it out. Right? Romans 8 and verse 18, basically saying that you could have the worst possible life a human could have on this earth, but one moment in glory, you want to weigh it out, it'll be worth it all. So it's very reasonable service here. When we encounter God at the altar, we find Jesus as the Lamb that was slain, living, by whose blood has cleansed us and let us enter into the heavenly realms. Remember that in Hebrews 10 and verse 19? Therefore, brethren, having a boldness to enter into the holiest of holies, by what? He says, by the blood of Jesus. And so I look inside of me and I thank God for the cleansing that he gave me. I looked inside of me because first I looked up. And I saw the glory of God and what he's allowed me to be in Christ. And then I looked within me and I saw sin. And I'm thankful that God allowed me to cleanse that out, to start over, to start fresh. And I see grace upon grace upon grace. And finally here, that leads to an outward look. Let's talk about this outward look that he saw. He saw a need here, Isaiah. Chapter 6, read it with me, beginning in verse 8. Let's talk about the outward look here. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing but do not understand, keep on seeing but do not perceive, make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and return and be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities are laid to waste, and without inhabitant, and the houses are without a man, and the land is utterly desolate, and the Lord has removed men far away, and has forsaken places, many in the midst of the land, and yet a tenth will be in it, and will return and be for consuming, as a terebinth tree or as an oak whose stump remains when it is cut down, and the holy seed shall be its stump. Now there's a lot there, but what I need to take away from this, I believe, is in that time of encounter with God, I listen. Isaiah had heard God ask, you know, whom shall I send? You know, this is that commission that Jesus gives us in Matthew chapter 28. Right? We all know it very well, the Great Commission. This is a commission that Jesus is talking about here in the end of Matthew. Right? Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And when you go to verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. And Lord, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Isaiah heard God say and ask, whom shall I send? Isaiah said, here I am, send me. Is that our response to this commission that Jesus gives us? If I encounter God, because I'm looking up, then I look within. And now I have this outward look. Am I willing to answer that call? You know, this really is, man, we're going to look at this in future lessons. This is me singing a brand new song because of who I am now in Christ. This is me seeing that I've been lifted out of a pit of sin and despair. Remember, worship is attitude and action. True worship of the Holy One that's high and lifted up. It's going to lead me to share and to serve. To live as that living sacrifice, Romans 12 and verse 1. Real quick here before we begin to wind down. I got a quote here, and I've always appreciated this quote. And it's from, I don't know if you ever heard of Penn and Teller, kind of magicians. You don't really see or hear about them much anymore. But Penn, of the Penn and Teller, is a well-known atheist. But he's not one of those obnoxious atheists. He actually argues for Christian rights, by the way. But he said this right here. And he told this story about how a man, a Christian, came up and handed him a Bible. He said, I love you. I want you to have this Bible. I want you to read it. He said, probably because that man knew that I was an atheist. And he said, I really, truly appreciated the fact that this man, even though I don't believe in the Bible, he said, cared enough for me to do that. And he has this quote right here. He says, quote, how can you believe you know the way to heaven and the way to avoid hell and not love someone enough to share what you know to be truth? That's a very true statement from an atheist. How can I encounter God? How can I experience God, experience what it means to have my sins atoned for, and then not tell others about it, those who are still living in sin? Isaiah here, the message was that the people probably aren't going to listen, but they're going to face judgment and wrath either way. But that wasn't for him to have an excuse not to share the message. Matter of fact, it was share the message anyways. You're going to encounter some hard hearts, people that aren't going to listen. They're not going to hear. They're not going to perceive. They're not going to care. As a matter of fact, they'll probably make your life pretty rough. That doesn't matter. You've encountered God. You looked up. You looked within. Now have that outward look and do what you're supposed to do. And in that outward look, that care and concern for the lost souls around us, that's going to strengthen our resolve. Strengthen our faith. You know, one way that I've heard it described before and I've always appreciated it, it just always made an impact with me. When you think about a ball game, right? Think about a ball game. There's only two kinds of people at a ball game. Right? You've got the players playing the game, and you've got spectators. We think about Christianity in that sense, in that illustration. I don't want to be a spectator. I want to be in the game. Having that encounter with God that continuously causes me to look within and change what I need to change. Have an outward look to share that faith that saves. When you look at the text here, finally, you know, this message of God, it still rings forth today. The Holy One is on His throne and has opened a way for all men to come to Him. The way is through the Holy Seed, Jesus Christ. Understand this, there is no other way to the Father except through Jesus Christ. John 14 and verse 6. There is no other way to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Those are His words, not mine. You're not going to find another way to the Father through any other religion, any other claim other than Jesus Christ, any other source other than Jesus Christ. If you accept this, if you accept this message, as you examine your life and as you repent of your sins, as your faith leads you to a belief and a willingness to confess Christ, you're invited then to be immersed into Christ. Baptism is that time of connection to a living God where the blood of Christ then cleanses you. This morning, is that the call for you? To come to God through Jesus Christ. Today's a day where you can encounter God if you'll make that decision. In a moment here, we're going to sing a song of invitation. Make a choice. If you need to make that choice, we'll love you. We'll show you the love of God. What a wonderful day this could be, knowing we could all leave this assembly justified in the eyes of God. If you've obeyed the gospel and fallen away, or you just want prayers of encouragement and strength, let us do that for you. Let's put our arms around you, pray for you, pray with you. What a great day this is. Please let somebody know as we stand and as we sing.